Paul Bennett is the director of Schoolhouse Consulting and an adjunct professor of education at St. Mary's University. We've reached him in Halifax this morning. Good morning, Mr. Bennett.
Good morning, Jerry, Lynn.
Thank you for taking time to speak with us. What do you think? Is online learning here to stay, and should it be here to stay?
Online learning is here to stay because we need to have the capacity to pivot whenever there's a crisis, a health emergency, or heaven help us, a future pandemic. What we've learned over the past year of COVID education is that you have to be prepared for almost anything. And this virus has a mind of its own and never seems to go away. So we do need to be prepared. Having said that, you know what I call today for you? It's pivot day. And that is not always good.
Pivot day. How come? Why isn't it always a good thing?
Because we know what happened in New Brunswick when they evolved from online learning to blended hybrid learning in the high schools. And we know how much resistance there was to it after a number of months. And I've written about it in the New Brunswick newspapers. Would you like to know what to watch out for?
Yes, please, sir.
Here's what happens. Shifts in schedule that are this abrupt disrupt the normal pattern of things. So while parents are understandably very keen and kids to get back to school, they'll quickly realize that on-again, off-again high school is quite different. Teachers find it more demanding because it's like double duty. It's students see opportunities, loopholes, on those days off when there's little scrutiny, no homework, and very, very little accountability. What happened in New Brunswick was this. After about 3 weeks, the students realized that they were not accountable for much on those alternative days. So right away, that meant 30 to 40% of their expectations in school were reduced. So you're going to be covering less. So over time, there's greater learning loss. Here's another thing. Teachers were asked to continue the instruction on those off days, and they found it to be double duty because the schedules were actually more complicated than ever before. So teachers became exhausted. So all I'm saying is this. While everyone, I gather, is excited about returning to in-school learning, and that's best for all kids, if you're on an alternate schedule, watch out for those alternative days when there's little or no accountability.
And that's my next question. How do you keep accountability up?
You have to plan for this, and I'm very concerned that there wasn't sufficient planning time. Now you've had a couple of days, but teachers are going to find this very onerous to maintain a schedule across on and off days. Here's exactly what happened in New Brunswick. They did not take attendance. They did not track participation. And parents were concerned what's going on those days. There's no homework or only one in four teachers apparently assigned anything. And so the kids were basically on their own. So are they in school or are they not in school? It's somewhere in between. So what happened was parents started expressing great concerns. And they imposed, after a few months, they imposed a requirement that every student had to appear for 5 minutes at each of those supposed periods. All the students objected to because by then they'd already established their own routines and they did not involve regularly participating in school.
So that's where you're seeing that over time there's a loss in learning. How do
30% minimum on every hybrid blended learning model. That's the minimum loss. Now, that's compounded when you think of the learning slide that has already occurred. Now, you're not aware of it if you're not measuring it, if you're not tracking, if you don't have tools to assess, say, standardized assessments for reading, for mathematics, or for competencies, then you really don't know how much learning loss there is. But we do know from studies in the United States that it's significant.
What's your recommendation for the Newfoundland and Labrador English School District as they approach this?
Make the best effort you can to implement successfully hybrid learning. Do track students and what they're doing on those off days. I think to begin by simply requiring them to participate is enough. Mm-hmm. And then as it goes on, you're going to have to be more, you're going to have more expectations for those off days. One of the worst things that can happen is if they're all claimed as spares.
And when I read the release yesterday,
high schoolers.
But what about teacher burnout, too? I mean, this is a major problem. I noticed in the release it said, look, this is not two different models. This is a blended model. But if I was a teacher, I would feel like I had my, you know, irons in two different fires.
Well, it's very, very challenging for teachers if they're going to maintain anything approaching standards on the days when the kids are off. It's like adding another layer of accountability, and they're not really trained for that. I don't think there are the supports to make it work. And the Minister of Education in New Brunswick is of the same opinion. He couldn't wait to get back to regular high school. He was under tremendous pressure throughout all of April to get everyone back on the 12th. But what happened was they had a new spike, and everyone now had to go back to the same old model.
So what model works the best, do you think?
Proper planning and execution. Everything is about planning. I've come to believe over all these years that, you know, schooling is about organizing students for learning. And if the organizational model is broken, disrupted, not regularized, you end up getting everyone off schedule. And there's a lot of potential for teachers to be fatigued here because there's a lot of new things to learn. And managing hybrid learning in theory looks good, but not too many people have succeeded in implementing it.
And when it comes to the consequences of this, I mean, these are high school students that we're talking about. They're looking at their futures. Are they going to suffer in that way if they want to, you know, their careers in future or even post-secondary education? What are the implications?
Whenever you ask that question, Jerry Lynn, you get a rather troubling answer. Everyone is in the same boat. That's not really an answer. Every education minister has been asked that in the last, I would say, 4 or 5 weeks. They've all given the same answer. It is not good enough. This generation of students have suffered one full year of disrupted learning, and they're going to be considerably behind in some of the core areas. Now, the only thing we need to be mindful of is at some point we have to worry about learning recovery and getting all students back on track, or the system is going to seek a newer level, lower than the current system.
Oh, I don't like thinking about that. Paul Bennett, Director of Schoolhouse Consulting and Adjunct Professor of Education at St. Mary's University. Thank you so much for this. Such a timely conversation to have as well.
Thank you for inviting me on the show.
Wow, I have learned so much.